In the following weeks, I'll be talking about love. This is something that's very important to me. That's something that's been placed on my heart ever since I got saved. I run into a lot of Christians that don't understand what love is, or they have a view of love that's from the world. This is so important as the body stands up and actually shows the world what Jesus Christ actually looks like, that we have proper love. I did some studies, and I want to share some of those things in the following weeks. It's three reasons why love is essential. One is that in order for the body of Christ to be unified. How are we going to get along? How are we going to be unified and really work as one body, one organism, if there's divisions and there's strife and all that type of stuff? That's what happens when there's no love. You know, you look at the false church, you look at the world, that's what we got. And so when the world looks at us, they have to see real love. They have to see real unity. They're gonna know. There are a few misconceptions about love. Number one, that we can't love like Jesus Christ. His love is just something to aspire to, not something you or I can actually reach. That's totally false. First of all, the Bible says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. For God called us to be conformed to his image, which is Jesus Christ, and that we should love one another as Jesus loved us. So these comments usually come from people who don't want to obey God, who listen to the lies of the devil, or fail to love because they've tried in their own strength. Loving like Jesus is possible because Jesus commanded us to do so. Misconception number two, you have to first love yourself before you love others. Once again, that's not in the Bible. I hear this often, but if you read what Jesus said when they asked him what was the greatest commandment, he said the number one commandment is first, love God, and then second is love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say nowhere now in the middle now love yourself. He says love your neighbor as yourself. The reason why he says that is when you love God, you're filled with his love in return. So you got no problem loving yourself. And so you can, from that point on, just love your neighbor. So love God first, then you'll be able to love your neighbor. Anybody with low self-esteem, problems where they feel like they're not valuable or they're not worthy, that's usually just a disconnection from God. They're not connected to Jesus Christ. They don't have love because they're disconnected from Christ. So connect to Jesus Christ, and you'll be able to love others. That mess about somebody loving themselves first, that just gets you into self-love. Flat out, is you're loving yourself. This is about you're in self-focus now. And that's totally against the word of God. The Bible says that love is not selfish. It's not self-centered. Doesn't seek its own. We have to be careful not to pick up these different doctrines when it comes to love, because I hear this so many times in church. You just need to love yourself first, you know. It sounds nice. Like, yeah, you know what? People that don't love themselves usually don't love other people. But people who don't love other people, that don't love themselves because they don't love God. That's the problem. All right, so the world defines love as a deep, tender, infallible feeling of affection and toward another person, an intense emotional attachment, an intense desire, and an attraction towards another person in order for the purposes of marriage, sexual passion, sexual intercourse, romance. That's what they call love. If any of those feelings are coming up in you, then you must be in love. The Bible says nothing like that. If you look at 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, the Bible says that love suffers long and is kind. That means that first it suffers long means is that it's patient. Love is kind. I mean, it's sympathetic. It's understanding. It's compassion. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. That means that love is not proud and doesn't go around boasting. It says love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own, which is selfishness. It's not provoked. So that means, you know, it's slow to anger. It thinks no evil. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs and constantly bringing up somebody's past mistakes. It's forgiving. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. That means we tell the truth. Love doesn't tell lies. Love bears all things. You look up that and break that down, you'll see that love covers. It bears other people's faults and holds on and kind of covers the things of other people. Say, for instance, you got a spouse and they did something in the past that was wrong, but they repented and confessed, and now they're all right. That's something you ought to keep between y'all and the family. You don't come, just spreading all around to everybody. A man ought not tell his boy his wife's sexual habits. Dude, keep that to between y'all and the Holy Spirit. That's not something you tell her, And I've heard men do that. This is what she be doing in bed, like, yo, man. And we Christians now. This is my wife, come on, man. I don't want to hear that. Love believes all things. That's being trustworthy. After somebody's confessed and repented, you don't keep treating them like they're gonna steal you or hurt you again or something like that. You're trustworthy. Hopes all things. In the event that the person cannot be, that doesn't repent and they just really, you hope for the best for them. Instead of they ain't gonna never be nothing. You don't be like that. You say I hope for the best. And then it finally, love endures all things. So affliction, persecution at the hands of the world, mistreatment, these things we endure to the end. God doesn't put anything on us that we can't bear. And so Jesus overcame the world, and so we can endure it. We can endure it. So with all that, love never fails. With all those things together, we can't fail. We also know that love is also Jesus Christ. And as you look at all those attributes I just mentioned, there is not one word in there called feeling. There's no feeling in there. These are all actions. So love is not feeling. Love is not emotion. Love is not attraction. Love is not having sex. Love is not liking someone. Love is moral character. Love is Jesus Christ. So love is how we act and treat other people. It's not about how we feel about people. Because I might not like you. Does that mean I get to disrespect you? Does that mean I get to be impatient and rush you? Does that mean I get to lie to you since you're not, inside my group, part of my family? No. That's a lack of love. And we ought to love everybody, especially our brethren. I'd rather prefer somebody treat me with kindness, respect, and humility and patience rather than relating to me solely on our similarities, mutual benefit, or attraction. So, a lot of marriages is just not based off of love. It got based off of something else. It's one book out, and it's called The Five Love Languages. And I read that book twice, and I actually own it, and I think it's an awesome book, but it's not love. He mentions five things that you can do to other people, in particular your spouse, to make them feel loved. And it helps you to understand your mate's love language so that you can speak it and have a successful marriage. So the five things is words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, physical touch. All those things are what make people feel good. And that's true. It's totally true. If you do those things, people will feel good, they'll like you, et cetera, et cetera. But none of that's love. It's that has nothing to do with 1 Corinthians 13. That he didn't mention being humble. He didn't mention sympathetic understanding, which is kindness and compassion. He didn't mention telling the truth. These make you feel good. These are good things to express to people, but not without the foundation of God's love. Let's talk about love versus lust. Many women I see in the community today, they really actually believe that the lust of a man is love. His stares, his compliments, his desire to have sex with her. None of this is love. It's simply attraction, and in most cases, simply lust. Just lust is a terrible thing because it's the exact opposite of love, which is selfishness. A man is basically looking to relieve himself at some woman's expense. So women ought to not mistaken desire and some guy's passion and his just his attraction for love. It's not, it's selfishness. This is why lust is a sin. Lust for anything is a sin, because we have a God that will supply all our needs. To walk in lust is to be disconnected from God and to say that God cannot supply our needs, and therefore we must fulfill our needs on our own. So basically, if how to determine if somebody's lusting or loving you is to just line up their character with the First Corinthians passage. Just look at that. Okay, are they humble? Are they selfless? Are they patient? Are they kind? And you go down the line and you match his attributes up with, match those attributes up with his character and his actions, you'll see if you know that guy loves you. What you'll find is that most guys don't love women. They really don't. They just horny dogs, basically. They can't love because they don't have the person of love within them, which is Jesus Christ. And God is love, and so therefore, if God is not in you, you can't love properly. So where does attraction, desire, arousal, passion, and sexual intercourse fit in? Are these love? I mean, what do we call these at this point? Well, they're not love. They're simply natural feelings that come about between human beings for the purpose of procreation, and which should only be expressed and enjoyed when a strong foundation of biblical love has been established through a marriage commitment. Until that happens, the participants of these activities can be considered as dogs in heat. Most people in the world, this is just a bunch of these are animals. This is animalistic behavior. There's no love foundation. This is exactly how dogs do it. Okay, a dog in heat, and I've caught my dog doing this, runs out, finds a female dog, jumps on the back of her. That's pretty much what's happening in the world. That's how it is, you know. I don't care how suave a man comes, you know, and he's saying he loves and he's being helpful and stuff like that. At the end of the day, you really got to know if this brother's saved, because if not, it's a good indication it's not love there. There's lust, there's selfishness. It's more by him being attracted to you more than I want to love you, take care of you, respect you. So the world says love is about how someone makes them feel. God says love is about how you behave and treat others. And not just that, he gives us specifics like kindness, patience, humility, and more. I'm satisfied with God's definition of love because it has standards, something I can build a foundation on. The world doesn't have a standard, and the false church doesn't follow the standard. This is why love is so confusing and disastrous in this world. Of course, people want godly love, but they can't find it on the horizon because they don't understand that it comes from above. As the Church of God stands up, the world will be able to find and see the manifestation of God's love in effect through His people. So on the next few weeks, I'll be just explaining the attributes of love, and I just want to run down them. After looking at the passage, I get about 13 attributes. And love is patient, it suffers long. Love is kind, it's benevolent, it understands others, and it sympathizes. Love is happy about what others have and not envious and jealous. Love is humble, it's not boastful, not disrespectful, not proud and arrogant. Love is supportive, considerate, and it helps others. It's not self-centered. Love is courteous and polite, not rude and ill-mannered. Love is slow to anger, not easily provoked. Love is forgiving. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Love is telling the truth, not lying to people. Love is covering another's faults. It doesn't gossip about them. Love is trusting, and it gives a new start to those who sinned in the past. Love hopes for the best in people rather than the worst. Love is loyal and endures all things. With all that said, love never fails. Love is Jesus Christ. Love is a character. It's not feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not sex. It is character. It is how you treat people and how you act around them. That's what love is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through each attribute throughout the week and and through these coming weeks, and just trying to talk about each one, because I run into people, like I said, they don't get it, and we as the body of Christ need to have authentic love. That's the only way for us to unify.